Your first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Well, that was crazy. Welcome into Scrambled Eggs, everyone, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. You're on Crack Sidewalks. We did not expect to be recording again this soon, but Joe McCann and Phil Bush here with you once again. And Phil, boy, Friday was a hell of a day.
Why? What happened? It was not. Did anything happen? What happened?
You know, our famous group chat with the MUBB pack. You know, we were.
It turns out Super PAC is taken by some other organizations we'd rather not associate with.
Yeah, but like we saw this. You know, I think it was Andy from Anonymous Eagle just tweeted Goodman exclamation point, and I assumed he meant Goodman had shared the article. Yes. And I wanted to see what Goodman said about it, and I saw breaking: Marquette has parted ways with Steve Wojciechowski. I'm like, holy shit! Did I do that?
Well, and you texted me and like said Wojo's out, and I responded in all caps: you're lying. Like there is no way 24 hours after that article comes out that Wojo gets fired. And
yeah,
boy, it happened. It was a thing that happened, and I am shocked, frankly.
I am. And I think before we really dive into it, I think we need to set a few things straight. Number one, we are not taking credit for this. To be obvious, I think that should be obvious.
Yes,
obviously,
correct.
I in no way believe Marquette University read our article and thought, oh, well, they made some good points. Let's bring Steve in here and fire him. No. Bill Shull said yesterday it was a product of weeks of negotiations and talking with Wojo. I'm sure like our article didn't help or like Wojo in any regard. It was coming one way or the other. The timing was just an incredible coincidence. I'm just glad we released it on Thursday instead of Friday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Well, and like Andre said, one of the fellow PAC members, he went on the Doug Russell podcast, and he said, you know, and called out, like, we were trying to get this out this previous Monday, and due to life and whatever else, it didn't come out to Thursday. My God, if we had published that at, like, 10 a.m. and then at 10:02, Goodman's tweeting. Like, I mean, I suppose it would have helped bolster the case, but man, that would have felt like just like.
Yeah, I would have felt terrible, especially for the guys who put a lot into it, like Rob, who did so much with the analytics and the math
right.
to contribute to that, and like I think it was mostly Andre and Andy and Alan did most of the writing itself
correct.
Of the article for them to put all of that effort into it and for it to be irrelevant or to be like all for naught, I would have felt bad. Like, man, I put a lot into that.
Yeah.
It
would have been the living embodiment of that, the Simpsons gif of stop it. He's already dead.
Yeah. Right. Like we wouldn't even need to, post it, but it was cool to see the article and hear all your reactions to it. And most, you know, not everyone agreed. We didn't expect everybody to agree with it, but, we did appreciate the reactions to it, but then Wojo is gone. Like just about like 24 hours after, almost literally 24 hours after it posted.
Right.
And it was 25 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like 24 hours or 25 hours. And I do think off the top, and I've said it on Twitter and I think it needs to be said, like we're going to, you know, our quote unquote job here is to analyze what happened, talk about all of that stuff. But none of this, like, there's no glee or happiness that a good man lost his job and several other people will lose their jobs, right? Some if not all of the assistants currently on staff are likely to be out at some point. So I think we have to say respectfully, like, Wojo is a good man and was a good steward of the program. Maybe the basketball results didn't reflect what we or the university, and we'll get into the athletic director Bill Scholes' statement later. But like he did a good job with the bringing in good student athletes, running a clean program. You know, maybe to his detriment, And so we want to say, at least I want to say respect to Wojo and appreciate the time at the university. And at the end of the day, this really came down to business and basketball. And that's just, you know, he came up a little short in both those areas.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, to be clear, we're not taking back anything we said or wrote.
No.
But we said what we said and we meant it. But again, we're not here tap dancing and saying, ha ha, get lost, don't let the door hitch in the way. You know, I'm sorry the guy lost his job, but again, it, like we said on the last pod, it's not personal, it's business, and the business of basketball is winning. Wojo did just about everything right as far as a head basketball coach, except for the most important part, which is wins and losses.
Right.
And when you're not winning, it's time to move on. 7 years was enough. And again, I certainly agree with what you say about the assistants, because assistant coaches across college basketball, their future largely depends on the head coach. And when the head coach is fired, almost all of the assistants are going to have to move on. And that's tough. But that's the business. Stan Johnson even tweeted a few days before Wojo was fired. He said, he said something, great profession, tough business, something
right.
like that.
Yep.
And that sums it up pretty well. So, again, not taking back anything we said, because we do believe it's time for change. But and I do appreciate Wojo giving his best effort to it, because I know he did try his best, but it wasn't good enough.
Right.
And so that's why Marquette has moved on. And you know, it's interesting. Bill Scholl said in his some of his remarks that some of the conversations, he didn't elaborate on it. He said some discussions with Steve Wojciechowski about the path forward for their program, and there were some disagreements, and that's what led to the decision. And it was interesting that Jeff Goodman, who is a well-respected college basketball writer, he had been with ESPN, he's now with Stadium, and he does a podcast with Rob Doster called The Field of 68. And so he broke the news that Wojo was gone, and he elaborated on that like late Friday night, early Saturday morning, saying his sources told him, and this is kind of maybe clarifying what the Marquette AD did not say in his remarks, according to Goodman, that Wojo was given the opportunity to stay if he would, quote, make changes to his staff. Now, that he did clarify what that if that meant just who would replace Killings, or if wholesale changes were needed on the staff and Wojo refused. Either way, Wojo did not agree to the direction that Scholl or Broker or whoever else wanted to see on the Marquette basketball coaching staff, and that was the impasse that led to the termination. So and that was something we touched on in the last podcast, Phil, was with Killings gone, we knew that in the last pod, we hoped Wojo would bring in, that's something we said, we hoped Wojo would bring in someone who would challenge him to think differently. And I can't help but think if that's more or less what Scholl was asking Wojo to do, and Wojo didn't want to do that. And I find it interesting that Goodman is reporting that a difference of opinions on the future of the coaching staff kind of led to what happened yesterday.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting, and it's interesting because, you know, there was a follow-up piece that we were going to write, and, you know, and I had started drafting something myself around, you know, because we kind of laid out the case for why Wojo needed to leave, but I think the reality of the situation was if what we didn't think Wojo was going to be fired. Obviously, that is the most obvious change that you could make. But there was also a case to be made. Look, Wojo is bringing in talent, good for the program overall. Is there an opportunity where Wojo can change his ways? As you said on the last pod, you know, he's 44. He's too young for the game to be passing him by. So I think there were going to be multiple advocations in that follow-up piece around, look, change the staff. Bring in an X and O guy, right? A veteran coach like Phil Martelli is on Juwan Howard's staff at Michigan, right? Or, you know, bring in a coach. You know, I think it became obvious that Wojo is a kind of a program manager versus an X and O guy or a foundational element teaching guy, right? Like he's kind of a CEO type versus a you know, get down in the weeds type. So could he change the staff that way? And, you know, especially given the entire core of the piece was analytics, you know, could he change over the staff and bring on an analytics team. You know, we know it's being successful on the women's team. Megan Duffy has talked about the analytics and seems fluent in that side of the game, and we're seeing the results on the women's team. So, yeah, I think I really wonder if, like, Bill Skoll, and again, it was obvious to us, so I would think it's obvious to people who do this for a living, right? That change at a minimum was necessary within Wojo's approach to the game. And so I really, based on what Bill Skoll said, what Goodman has said, kind of just looking at the tea leaves, I really do think it came down to Wojo had a chance to be retained for another year. And for whatever reason, decided, no, this is working for me. I'm not changing. And we see the result. They decided that, hey, all right, if you're not going to change, then we're going to make a change for you.
Right. There's going to be a change one way or the other. You can do it this way, or we'll do it without you. And right. That seems like it what it came down to. So that is, I mean, I guess you got to respect in some regards Wojo for his loyalty to the guys he's hired. But many coaches across many professions have, gone the other way. Like, right. In football, if the offense stinks, you fire your offensive coordinator and hope it extends your stay. He wanted to keep all his guys. It's not clear who was on the chopping block from the administration's perspective, but Wojo was going to keep his guys and hire whoever he wanted as his next assistant to replace Killings. And the administration said, no, we're not going to do that. So.
Well, here's the thing is, he tried to jump in front of the bullet for his coaching staff and got his bluff called. And, some of the assistants will turn over anyway. So,
right.
I Wojo's a good man. I'm not happy in a human sense that he's left. I am encouraged that Marquette pulled the trigger and made this move. And we'll get into that here shortly. But let's also not pretend that Wojo isn't leaving financially secure for quite a while. Terms have not been disclosed, but it's a significant buyout.
Yeah, exactly. But before, my gut reaction was I feel bad for Wojo, but then I remember he's probably getting something like a $6 million check from the university, maybe immediately or maybe spread out over a few years. Either way, he's getting probably $6 million to not coach, so not exactly crying a river for him. He's going to be just fine. And I'm sure he will get an opportunity to coach again some way in some capacity. I don't know what that will be. I really don't care to speculate it on this podcast, but he has the resources to find a way to do that, I'm sure. So,
he made, he's probably made, if you count a $6 million buyout, he's probably made anywhere from $14 to $18 million in his time at Marquette. Like, again, you don't like it for the psychological effect, but he's also not going to feel a lot of financial hardship as a result of this.
Yeah, he'll be fine. And the thing is, he may become a better coach because of this, long term. Because I think for years, the administration at Marquette was always very supportive and saying, hey, man, you're doing a good job. It's going to break. It's going to get there. What you're doing is fine, and we're going to be patient with you. But now he has lost his job because of the way he did things, and now maybe he'll take a year off from coaching or maybe he'll get back on the bench. Either way, now that he's no longer the head coach of Marquette University, he may take some time for reflection and say, look, I didn't win, and I lost my job. What did I do wrong? And how can I do it better? And he may change. And whenever he pops up again as a head coach, or maybe if it's as an assistant coach to kind of get back on his feet, kind of like Jeff Capel did, going back to Duke as an assistant, then getting the Pitt job, he may kind of regroup and say, look, I did it this way for a while. It didn't work. I'm going to do things differently. And he's got plenty of time in his life, in his coaching career, to reinvent himself as a coach and do it a different way and hopefully do it better. I am not certain. I am not ruling out the fact that Wojo could be a successful coach down the road. Mm-hmm. He just was not successful at Marquette.
Yeah, well, and keep in mind, I mean, Wojo has been, I mean, as both a coach and a player, has been relatively isolated, right? Like he was a player in the Duke system, and was then a coach in the Duke system. He has not seen other ways to do what he has not seen. you know, from an experience standpoint, he has not seen different ways to approach this game. Now that he's got the very real, like, dude, you got to change, or, you know, we're taking a different path, and the not changing got him shown the door. Maybe he takes a different approach with the next job, or maybe he goes to be a staff, you know, on someone's staff that's not Duke, and sees a different path forward and makes changes. And I mean, again, on a human level, if Wojo goes on to a very successful career and like wants to throw it back in our faces, that's fine. But I think at the end of the day, it is 100% clear to me that even if Wojo becomes a successful coach later in life, he would not have become that successful coach at Marquette. He needed change.
I agree. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
It had to change here. It wasn't working here. He needed to change, didn't want to change. So Marquette needed to make a change. And now it's time to move on, for both parties to move on. And hopefully both parties get better because of it. It was a divorce that needed to happen, and hopefully both will be happier in their next marriage.
Yes, correct. And again, it's, you know, I think there were some negative pushback to the article we published. There was, you know, and it was the usual complaints, right? And I get and respect, maybe not some of the people and some of the ways they're presented, but I respect some of the complaints or the pushback, right? Like, okay, who are you going to get that's not Wojo? Is this riskier to go to a new coach than to stick the one you know? Hey, there's a global pandemic, financial impact. Are we really going to pay someone to go away and then pay someone in to come do that job we're paying someone else to not do? I get all of those objections. But I think one of the key takeaways is if you kind of look past the surface, this is actually a really good time to make this change, right? And the only reason Marquette was in a bad financial position in terms of the buyout was because they kind of doubled down on Wojo when they probably shouldn't have, right? They extended him after the Housers left. And I guess I kind of get why they did that. But if they hadn't done that, or they had extended him in a less robust way, like this move is a lot easier. So the financials obviously have an impact, but this is the time to make the change, right? I think, and maybe someone will say we're biased, but we're at least, in terms of jobs that are currently open, we're probably the second best job that's on the market. And if you kind of squint and wear blue and gold glasses, you can make an argument that we're the best job because, you know, Indiana is not the Indiana of old these days.
And just, it's so crazy. I mean, if you don't go to a Final Four at Indiana in the first 3 years, they're ready to fire you. You know,
right.
It's like the expectations there are just insane. The heat, there's just so many of those fans. The Indiana has a ton of fans. Marquette doesn't have, like, compared to other universities, Marquette doesn't have that many fans. We have a loud group of fans, obviously,
right.
who are very vocal, but there aren't that many of us. I mean, Indiana, it's basically the entire state that you have to appease.
Right.
Obviously prestige and winning, Indiana has a lot more of it. Most of it before anything that Marquette has achieved, and like it's all old history, right? It's not certainly since Knight left, but even in the late years of Knight, it was not one of the elite programs. It was a good program.
Yeah, Mike Davis had, what was it, in his first or second year, they went to, an accidental Final Four?
Yeah, I mean, they went to a Final Four. He was legit. I mean, yeah. They got it done. You can't hate on him. I mean, he did a good job. But,
yeah, that's
true. But no, I get what you're saying. To get back to the point that, yeah, maybe Marquette, you know, maybe some people would hold Minnesota in higher regard just because it's a Big Ten school. But Marquette is, at worst, probably the third best job available. But there is certainly a case to be made because it is basketball focused with high, but maybe not ridiculous expectations.
And ridiculous funding.
Yeah. That it could be a very comfortable landing, good landing spot for a talented and ambitious coach, whether it's someone who's established or a young up and coming guy. And Marquette has gone really more young up and comers in recent years, right? Because Crane was a first time head coach. Buzz Williams it felt like a first time head coach, even though he technically coached at the University of New Orleans for a year, but he was just, he was an assist. He was a head coach for 1 year, then left as a head coach to become an assistant, and then became a head coach again. And then, of course, Wojo had never been a head coach. So, you know, I know people want to hear names and speculation, and I don't know how deep we want to get into it in this podcast, but, you know, but Marquette needs to get this hire right.
Yes.
Right? Like, because getting rid of Wojo is only half the battle here, because the more important step is hiring somebody better. Because as down as we were on Wojo, Phil, I can certainly concede that we could do worse.
Right, absolutely. Well, and I think for a moment we need to kind of paint the picture of what the job at, like, because timing is everything. And like I said, I think secretly, you know, when you look past the surface, this is a good time to make the change, right? Like, and you mentioned Indiana, Minnesota. You know, Minnesota doesn't have the long history and certainly doesn't have the high expectations. But say what you will, and people will pick on the Big Ten, especially given their NCAA tournament history, right? But, like, the Big Ten is a murderer's row right now. So, like, trying to get a program up off the mat at Indiana or Minnesota, like, that's asking a lot. Whereas comparably, and the Big East isn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, but going into next season, the Big East is going to be maybe the third or fourth best conference. You know, Villanova is going to be Villanova. You know, DePaul's got a regime change. Georgetown is kind of fluky right now, right? Like, you know, Xavier hasn't gotten back up. Butler hasn't restarted after their coaching changes a couple of years ago, right? So there's opportunities to be successful next year. So if you look at the combination of funding and investment that Marquette has, let's not forget things like the Fiserv Forum, the connection to the Bucks, the Marquette is clearly willing to spend, expectations that are high but not too high. Because I think the other thing we really got to call out is when they decided to fire Wojo, they have set the absolute floor of expectations, right? Like, we debated whether you know how you count Wojo, but even if you give Wojo the missed NCAA tournament, he made 3 out of 7 NCAA tournaments. You know, he had a top two Big East finish. You know, looked good in cases, and Marquette said that's not good enough. So the coach, whatever coach is coming in to high but not extreme expectations. They're coming into a solid financial situation. They're coming into a place where you can compete and win in year one. The roster is not devoid of talent. Now we'll see what happens with transfers and people backing out of their commitments and whatnot, right? We could be in a total rebuilding model. But even there's lots of transfer opportunities. You can rebuild a roster on the fly this year. So there's a lot of talent. It was not configured in a way that we would like. So the coach has that to work on. But again, I think it's about as good an opportunity for an ambitious, experienced head coach of some capacity to come in and be successful in year one.
Yeah, and you know, regarding the timing, another thing to keep in mind is, hopefully, if things go according to plan with vaccinations and the pandemic, we should be able to have a full Fiserv Forum this fall. And if you wanted to create, and this is just kind of very small sample size in my own little bubble, but I just get the feeling that a lot of people who may have been on the fence about season ticket renewals are now more interested in doing so than they were if they were looking at another year of Wojo.
Yeah, I did have to break the news to my wife that we were getting season tickets again this season yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, so like, granted, you're just one person, but still, I have seen others on the timeline who were kind of kicking around saying, look, I don't know if I want to renew again next year. I think there's, you know, if you make an exciting hire, there is some likelihood that there will be a little bit more buzz around the program because there's a reason to be excited just to go to games again, right? If we can get past this pandemic and get vaccinations. And you mentioned the likelihood of transfers. Yeah, that is just the cost of doing business when you're talking coaching moves, that you're probably going to lose the entire recruiting class. And there's a good chance some guys decide they want to leave the program. And then you just set that bar there. And if you get some guys to come back, you're just pleasantly surprised. And, you know, the added element of there's a good chance that everyone's going to get one free transfer. And so, yeah, so a lot of guys could go to another school and play next year. So that may be a little more incentive to leave because you can just hit the reset button and play for that coach during, you know, these kids can go play for that coach during their recruitment who they really liked, but maybe not quite as much as they liked Wojo, their second favorite guy, right? And they'll consider that, but who knows, maybe they'll like whoever the next coach is too. And then you mentioned that goes both ways though. Let's say the worst happens and almost every significant player on this team decides to leave. Well, you'll have a wide open roster, but then you can also bring guys in who can play next year. You're not bringing in like six or seven guys who all have to sit out. They can all play next year. So it could literally be an entire different team. We'll see. Yeah, obviously, selfishly, I would love for DJ Carton and Darson Garcia and Justin Lewis and Oso Iguodaro and Greg Elliott to all come back and give the new coach a shot. But that's not my call to make. They're going to do what's best for them, and whatever makes them happy, I respect it. That it's their call, it's their life, it's their college career. They only get one, and they're going to do what they want to do. We'll just have to wait and see, and I think it largely depends on who the new coach is, if the new coach retains anyone on staff, and that may have, like, you know, there's always, like, that continuity thing, right, where even if the head coach is gone, maybe there's an assistant coach that you really liked, and that entices some kids to say, look, we're going to stick it out. But you're being naive if you think everyone's going to stay. But so just assume that everyone is looking around and just be pleasantly surprised when either current players or kids who are committed to the school decide that they still want to stick with Marquette.
Yeah, and again, we'll weather this storm. I mean, one of the things looking back on the transition from Buzz to Wojo, and now granted that roster was a little light on talent, but Wojo was able to retain every player that was on the roster. Now, again, there's a free transfer, so that incentive to stay is kind of removed. But I think when we come back to
the coaching, earlier in that first year, Burton and John Dawson did leave. So yeah, so like while initially they stayed, he did lose guys. But yeah, sure. I just wanted to correct that. But
no,
keep
going. That's a good point. But so what this all comes back to is you know, when we talk about what the coaches look like and some of the names, right? I think Marquette's got to make a move relatively quickly to just get a, you know, you don't want to rush the hire, obviously. But the sooner you have a coach in place, the sooner you can start re-recruiting your own players before they potentially start hearing, you know, and I know it's a no-contact period, but let's be honest, the internet's the thing, and, you know, people reach out to people. You know, you could start
cue the Agatha Harkness meme from WandaVision. It's a no-contact period, big wink.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, your players are going to start getting, you know, especially as teams lose out of the tournament, you're going to start hearing teams, you know, through back channels trying to recruit players away. So, you know, again, like you said, it's the cost of doing business. And I think it really just comes down to the coaching hire. If you make the right hire and they're a good recruiter, they can re-recruit the players on the roster and re-recruit the players on the incoming class, and then you kind of see where it goes from there.
Or they just
start fresh.
Bring in different players who are as good or better.
Correct. Because we did make the point that Wojo's roster had some glaring weaknesses going into next season, which was why we were kind of like, we need to make this change because next year ain't going to be better.
Right. Next year was looking very young. We'll see what the offseason brings now. But, and plus, the other side of doing it now, because a lot of good coaches who are in the tournament, half of them are going to be eliminated by Monday evening. So they'll probably be willing to take some phone calls if anyone in the tournament now is a guy you want to talk to. So the sooner the better, right? Because then you can get that coach, hire him. Get them in Milwaukee and say, look, here are our recruits who are committed. You better call them now or DM them now and make sure and see if you can get them to stay. And let's have a meeting with our current players and see how many of them like you and want to stay. And see if they want to leave, then we got to start finding new players. So the sooner you do it, the sooner you can move on. So Marquette moved quickly, and so now it is time to move on and figure out who the next guy is. And I guess that's kind of the next question, Phil. Like I said, I don't know how deep we want to break down candidates, but I do want to like at least touch on some names that are already out there by a lot of people.
Right.
The first thing that really caught me off guard when, because again, Jeff Goodman broke the news. He said in like his first report, the two names he threw out there were Nate Oates and Shaka Smart. And
I nearly dropped my phone when I saw that video. I was like, "Are you kidding?"
Like Marquette is going to pay a head coach, but I think those guys would be taking pay cuts to come to Marquette, wouldn't they? Like, especially Nate Oates. I think he. Yeah, like, and I think, you know, Alabama, they just print money in that athletic department. And there's no way Nate Oates is leaving. I think Shaka Smart, the only reason his name is out there is I think he's due for a contract extension, and maybe he wants a little leverage in it. I had in our little group chat, it was brought up that the whole Eyes of Texas controversy, I don't know how much that is national news, but it is kind of a tense situation on the University of Texas campus. If you guys are familiar with that.
Yep.
Bottom line is the Eyes of Texas is a school song, and all the players have to sing it after every game. And there are, if you look into the history of the song, there definitely are racial undertones going back to the antebellum South. And it's even traced back to like Robert E. Lee.
Yep.
So the student athletes at Texas kind of want it gone. And the school says, no, we're still going to sing it. And that could be lead to maybe a tense, uncomfortable situation for a black head coach who has to recruit black young men. So I don't know if that's leading to Shaka looking elsewhere or not, but until like something big happens there, I am assuming Shaka is A, not interested, or B, just looking for leverage in a contract.
Yeah, this is, I mean, you know, given the topic we just had, levity aside, like this is leverage season, right? Like this is,
right.
We saw it all the time with Crean, right? Like Crean would always have his name out there with other opportunities, and Buzz was similar.
So did Buzz.
Yeah, Buzz.
Yeah, Buzz. Yeah, know, Buzz.
Do we not?
That was a tradition with Buzz.
Yeah, the SMU 17 era, right? You know, so this is the leverage era. So now Marquette is coming calling. So there will be some coaches that will be playing the leverage. I think the thing that caught me by surprise with both Oates and Shaka was that it was immediately out of Goodman's mouth. Like it wasn't one of these, oh, it's been a couple of days. I want a cycle, you know, a new cycle here. Their people have reached out. It was like Goodman got the scoop that Wojo was gone. And like 6 minutes later was like, you know, Shaka and or Nate Oates might be interested in this job. And it's like, what? I don't see them making that change.
I don't either. And so like, I think the big name that is interesting to me is going to be Beeline. Obviously Indiana is a big thing connected to him, but if Beeline is interested in coaching, I am highly interested in John Beeline. If he's not interested in coaching, if you have to talk him into it, then I'm ready. I would rather look at somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubting that Beeline is a talented coach and has had success, right? So in theory, he can come in and turn it around and do it again. I just think he comes with baggage. I mean, there's, you know, not to be an ageist, but like, He's getting up there in coaching years. That we're not talking about if we hit success that, you know, we're going to get 15 years out of the coach. We're talking, you know, 5-10 years probably, right?
Yeah, unless he's planning on coaching into his 80s, right?
Right. And then we've got, you know, there's other baggage. You know, there was, you know, some of the, especially in the current environment, there was the whole, and we don't need to go into the details, but the whole thugs thing when he was in the NBA and there was some inappropriate behavior with staff in the athletic department, right? So he comes with baggage, no doubt.
That's his son, by the way. Oh,
that was his son. That's right.
Yeah, but no, but yeah, there was a like the debate is whether it was a slip of the tongue or whether he actually said thugs when talking about his team in the locker room, and whether it was a slip of the tongue or not. The bottom line is he lost his team and could never recover from that. But yeah, that's something that you need to clarify if you're going to bring John Beeline in, but
right.
There's no doubt he's a good coach and he's out there. So we'll see if he's a target or if he's a target for and if he's interested in coaching again, I don't know. And then beyond that, Phil, it's mostly guys who have led mid-major programs to the tournament. And there's certainly merit in that. And there's certainly a reason to be careful. Are we just picking a hot name and saying, well, he's doing a great job. He got to the tournament this year.
Right.
Well, there are interesting names out there.
Yeah. Well, but I think even before we get into some more of those names, I do think we need to lay out, like, I think there are three key things and again, maybe you can't find all three, but you've got to find, like a coach that has head coaching experience, right? Yes. Crean and Buzz were successful without head coaching success previously, but I also think we can demonstrate in their tenures there was considerable learning curve there. And again, we've got to get this hire right. We don't, because otherwise we turn into an Indiana light, right? Where you've got three or four coaches in a row who have not, lived past mediocre success. And so that erodes the program. So this next hire has to be right. So I don't think we want to hire for someone that's going to learn on the job, which is why someone like a Beilein is interesting, right? He doesn't have to learn on the job. He's done it and shown he can do it multiple times. You got to get someone that's a solid recruiter, right? I mean, that was Wojo's experience. And then you got to get somebody who's going to kind of embrace the program, not just like from a wins and losses, but I mean, let's be honest, Marquette has a history of eccentric coaches, right? Like, and Wojo was the antithesis of that. He was the least eccentric. He was almost eccentric only because he wasn't eccentric in any way, right? So I think you got to get somebody that's a little bit of a character that's going to like bring the enthusiasm back to the program, right? That's going to give a good interview.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but personality is so low on the totem pole for me. I really don't. I can deal with boring if you win. Like, I could deal with Bill Belichick as my coach if he wins at that level. Is it fun when your coach is hilarious and gives good sound bites and, has a hilarious, Twitter and Instagram account? Sure, that's funny and it's enjoyable, but I would rather winning and boring than eccentric and 500. What I would look for, in my opinion, obviously, yes, I think you a guy with head coaching experience, I think you got to go that way, because learning on the job, no. We do need someone who has been a head coach and is not, and knows exactly the direction he's going to take the program. I think someone who is maybe up on the way the game is going, specifically like analytics, who is open to things like that and learning and is either A, competent in that stuff, or B, is accepting to it and willing to hire an assistant who is competent in that stuff.
Right.
So Marquette has so many resources. If you're going to take advantage of synergy and all the advanced analytics, just take full advantage and get all the information you can. So I want somebody who is going to be up on things like that and have Marquette a state-of-the-art program that is not falling behind the curve. And yes, great recruiter, yes. But, a lot of these coaches at these mid-majors or even one-bid leagues, they really haven't had an opportunity to recruit at a high level because, nobody wants, top 100 prospects don't want to play in one-bid leagues. So it's more about, I guess, what I'm saying is, maybe even if you look at a guy and say, well, he's never landed a top 100 recruit, it's not necessarily a bad thing if he's coming from a small league. The question is he going to win in the living room, right? Is he a personable guy? Can he identify talent and then develop that talent? So is he like a good recruiter in that regard? And yes, you would love for it to be a clean program, right? You don't want a guy who's going to bring NCAA violations with him and, win for a few years and then bring a load of sanctions and embarrassment to the team. So yes, that in that regard, someone who does it the right way, yes, that's important. Do I need a Boy Scout? No. But I don't want like the dirtiest player in the game either. I know Marquette does not want that.
Right.
All. So that's what I want. I want experience. I want someone who is open to analytics and evolving as a coach, either if either a coach who is experienced in that or a coach who is open and accepting of that and willing to hire an assistant who is up on that. And good recruiter, personable, going to win in the living room. And, runs a good program, kind of, you know, is in tune with like the values of the Jesuit values of the university. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think some of what we're looking for, like you mentioned the analytics, I think some of it's going to be interesting in the formation of the staff, right? Like whoever they end up hiring as a head coach, like who do they bring on? Do they bring an analytics guy? If they're a younger coach with limited head coaching experience, do they bring on, you know, a salty veteran that has the X's and the O's, or do they hire a staff that, you know, a higher staff that's willing to challenge and self-scout and tell the emperor they have no clothes, right? I think that's some of the areas where Wojo kind of like was at a disadvantage. I don't know that he was self-aware or that his staff was really ones to challenge what he was doing, right? Like, I think there was a lot of like, you know, hey, let's teach the basics and we're going in with a game plan and come hell or high water, that's the game plan. So I think maybe if I can put a word to it is I think whatever the next head coach, they've got to be adaptable, right? They've got to be someone, we're not hiring necessarily for what style of play they have. We're hiring for a coach that can take the pieces they have now and pieces they have in future and make a winner out of it.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned Juwan Howard earlier, and he is just such a shining example of a coach who knows what he's good at, does what he's good at, and handles that, but also knows where he has flaws and is willing to bring in guys to fix those. And yeah, Martelli was the perfect example. Yeah, Juwan Howard knows he can coach. Juwan Howard knows he can put together a good defense, and he knows he can get in the living room with the parents and pitch the University of Michigan and everything it offers. What he maybe did not know as well was the college basketball landscape currently, as far as recruiting and who are the AAU and high school coaches I need to know, and what are the events we need to go to recruit, and who do we need to connect with, and how do you help with scheduling, things like that. And Phil Martelli has been around the game so long, he could help him with all that, and that has helped Juwan Howard grow as a coach and win. And so yeah, that's important as a coach. As a head coach, you don't need to be great at literally everything. You need to be good at some things, and you need to own those things that you do very well and make those your own. But if there are some things that you maybe aren't bad at but could use improvement at or use help with, bring in the assistant that can help you with those things.
Everyone has blind spots. That's human.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's what a good leader kind of in any industry can do. Say, look, I can handle all this. There are 100 things I need to do here. I can handle 75 of them just fine, and I'm going to own this. But these last 25, I need you guys to do this. And I need, you're good at this, so you handle that, and you report back to me. And maybe I'll help learn. We'll help each other and learn from each other along the way, and everyone's going to get better because of it.
Yep.
So that, you know, so it's good to be, you know, confident and believe in what you're doing, but just be able to accept your flaws and be able to grow for them. So that's kind of what we're looking for in the next guy. Like I said, if you hire a young guy, for example, you know, like Dennis Gates is an example of a guy who's out there who's very young, but very talented. If he's going to be a guy who's willing to bring in a veteran coach to kind of help him in that regard, right? Or maybe a guy like Porter Moser, who is experienced and a guy who's out there a lot and is coaches at a Jesuit university, but maybe hasn't recruited at a high level because it's tough to get top 100, 200 recruits at Loyola, the university, or at Loyola Chicago. Bring out just a gangbuster recruiter, a guy who's going to get out there in the recruiting trail, who has recruited at a high level for other schools, who's going to get out there and help him in that regard and help him recruit the type of players he needs. So, yeah, just a coach who's willing to acknowledge where he needs some help and hire guys who are going to help him make up the gap there.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, I was concerned at first, like, you know, given the timing, it, like you said at the top of the podcast, it's been a wild 24 hours, right? And by the time we're recording this, it's been a little over 48 hours. But I mean, given that the leadership knows how important this next hire is, and that seemingly reading between the lines, the reason Wojo was let go because of the very things we're talking about, I think Bill Scholl has his finger on the pulse. So it's going to come down to, like, is the right coach available and are they mutually interested? You know, and that may seem like obvious to some people, but I mean, that's a lot of what what happens. I mean, you know, we can go back to the Wojo hire. Everyone remembers the done deal, but I don't know how much people really realize how close the Shaka deal really was. Shaka Smart was 1A for Marquette to hire a coach, and moves were made to try and encourage Shaka to come to Marquette. It didn't work out, and as a consequence, Marquette went revisited the pool, and Wojo ended up being the pick. But, you know, this is one of those. There are, you know, we can go through the list, right? You did Dennis Gage,
Porter Moser. Porter Moser. I think Pat Kelsey at Winthrop is a name that's been out there. Craig Smith at Utah State has done well. And the Scott Drew coaching tree is interesting. So that for that reason, Grant McCasland at the University of North Texas is maybe another name you may hear. But those are kind of the mid-major guys that are out there. And I think there are a lot of guys at smaller schools who, if offered, would say yes.
Yes.
And that's the thing to me. Like there may be some guys that people are throwing out there who would say no. I would say Shaka is probably one who would say no. Nate Oates is one who would definitely say no. But yeah, they're in Beeline could very likely say no. So there may be a few guys out there who would say no, but I think there are also a lot of talented up and coming coaches who would say yes.
Now the one name we have not mentioned, and I'm curious to see what the fan base might think of this idea. He's currently coaching a team in the NCAA tournament, long history, has a national championship. One, Rick Pitino.
No, that I come on.
I mean,
no,
I think he says yes if Marquette offers, right? But there's no way Marquette offers, right?
Yeah, Marquette, they like the whole thing about having a clean program, right?
Right, and, right. Regardless of whether Pitino was actually involved in some of the things at Louisville and some of the other stops, like he's still associated with him. And like you're gonna fire the cleanest coach that's ever coached at Marquette to hire, I mean, let's be honest, one of the least clean, you know, one of the best bagmen in all of NCAA history, right? Like that's a bit of a whiplash I wouldn't expect.
Yeah, and I would think Iona knew what it was getting when Pitino came on board. I would assume he has got the biggest freaking buyout you could possibly imagine for a school of Iona's size. Like, there is no way they were going to let him get away after a year and just use them for a stepping stone to get back to a major program. I cannot entertain the idea of Rick Pitino at Marquette. Just because I disliked the man for so long when he was at Louisville and, quite frankly, got a couple of big W's on Marquette that were really, really just gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Yeah, just couldn't handle it, man. No.
Hard pass. Agreed. No. But the name is out there. I'm not pulling that out of thin air.
Okay, no, you're not wrong about it being out there. He's out there for Indiana too.
Right.
People kicking that around. Like there was some other school that recently opened up that someone threw his name. Oh, Boston College. So many people threw it out for Boston College, him being a Northeast guy, and that just being a Catholic school, and he's at Iona now. So, yeah, that he was out there for BC. And can't see it, man.
Yeah,
I cannot see it.
The way
Marquette values having the image of a clean program, I couldn't see it at all.
Yeah. Now, the other name that's out there, you know, we talked about mid-majors. You want to talk about high major experience, a little bit of baggage. Archie Miller. I've seen that floated. Archie Miller obviously was paid $10 million to go away. So, you know, maybe Indiana and Marquette could have just done some sort of swappy swap. But, you know, I don't see it. Like, I don't think it makes sense. I don't think you can, like, fire Wojo and pay $6 million to go away when he had middling results, when Archie Miller, admittedly in a tougher conference, had worse results across 4 years. Than Wojo did. I don't think you can make that higher.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I have not followed. I mean, obviously, I see their records. I haven't followed Indiana basketball closely enough to tell you what went wrong for Archie there. Yeah, I, like if you had asked me this 5 years ago when he was crushing it at Dayton, I would have said, hell yeah.
Right.
Like let's bring, like, is he a worse coach now, or did he just get exposed at a major conference? I don't know the answer to that. But one thing I will say for the, as far as the financials, if he's got $10 million in the bank from IU, could he give, like, Marquette a break on the salary for the first few years of his contract and then start getting paid, like, more from Marquette?
Like, it depends on what the redemption story is for him, right? Like,
yeah, like, well, yeah, like, let's say he signs a 6-year contract, and right, for like the first 3 years he's making a very small salary compared to what Marquette would normally offer, but then the big salary kicks in year 4 and 5, and you have to, in 6, and you have to pay those years whether you're happy with them or not. You know, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If he's got $10 million in the bank from Indiana, it's like he's making $3 million and change for the next 3 years anyway. So maybe he doesn't need a huge salary. So I'm just saying, from a strictly financial perspective, I could see why that would intrigue Marquette, but I don't even know if he's on the radar. I don't know. To your point, considering his results at Indiana, granted, tough conference when he's playing probably a top 25 team literally every week, it's tough to grow in the Big Ten, and it may be a little easier to grow in the Big East, and he could maybe redeem himself, but I don't know. He's not, doesn't excite me. Like, if they go that way, I would be totally supportive and say, all right, let's go. I'm supportive. But, like, as of now, throwing Archie Miller out there now does not excite me.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard it. I'm not, like you said, I'm not excited about it. I would actually be surprised if Marquette went that direction. I just get the sense that Marquette is going mid-major with head coaching experience of some regard, right? I don't think they're going to go top build, everyone would recognize the name type.
You don't think they're going to get Brad Stevens?
Is he available? Oh, yeah, you're right. He's had one bad year at the Celtics. He's definitely leaving for college. My
dang,
God.
Man.
If that is
Steve Kerr?
Oh, is he available? Oh, okay.
Greg Popovich? I mean, let's just, throw them all out there.
Yeah, I mean, let's type names into Twitter.com and then just pretend as if they're real things. This is why the internet is terrible. I recognize that people are listening to us on the internet, but we've lost our collective minds.
Yeah, no. But I agree. Based on recent history, like I said earlier, the splash hire really isn't what Marquette has done lately.
Right.
Like stealing a huge name from a rising program is really not what they've done. Again, the last three hires, Crean was a first-time head coach coming from Michigan State. Buzz was a 1-year head coach who had stepped down as a head coach to become an assistant for a year and then became a head coach. So it was like he was a first-time head coach.
Right.
And then Wojo was a first-time head coach coming from a major program. But the indication is that experience is going to matter this time, so maybe they will hire somebody who has been a head coach for a while. We'll see. And I think we've speculated enough, and I don't know if I want to get into a big analytic breakdown of all these coaches before it becomes realistic. I'm guessing probably the next time we pod, Phil, will be shortly after Marquette has made a hire, whoever it is going to be.
And I would suspect that new hire, I don't know, I would be shocked if there's not a new hire by the end of next week. Like, we very well may be podding next weekend simply because there's a new coach hired. I think Marquette needs to move relatively fast here.
And if Marquette is as attractive as Jeff Goodman and others say it is, then they should have a lot of applications coming in right now.
Right.
Like even the guys who are still coaching in the tournament, they probably called their agent and said, "Hey, send my information, send my resume, and just express my interest to Marquette. If you could get that done for me, and I'll check in with you when I get eliminated."
Yeah, and I'd ask you a question, Joe. Do you think the fact that they fired Wojo, when they did, and given his record, do you think that turns away any coaches, or is it more of the way these guys are wired? They'll go in and take any opportunity if it's a good opportunity.
No, I don't think it would be a turnoff. I would think anybody, like any coach who, and all these coaches think that they're doing, think they have some merit and can win at a high level. They just want that opportunity. I think any coach would look at what Wojo did and say, he didn't win a tournament game in 7 years. I could do that.
Right.
Give me 7 years. I'll get Marquette to a tournament victory. And I think they would say, even if they totally respect Wojo and even know him personally, they would say, yeah, I like Wojo. He's a good guy, but I think I could do better than he did. And given Marquette's resources, there aren't there aren't going to be that many opportunities better than Marquette coming up in the next year or two, right? There may be some better, but, you know, but Marquette's a great place to grow. And let's be real here. For a lot of coaches, Marquette would probably be a stepping stone to the next one. And that's okay if they do well. Like we said this when Wojo was hired. And some people were saying, well, yeah, you know, why do you hire Wojo? If he does well, he's just going to go take the Duke job. And I said at the time, if Wojo does so well at Marquette that he's the number one candidate at Duke, then that's great.
Yeah, Marquette will be benefited, right?
Then Marquette will be able to hire literally, well, not literally, but almost any head coach in the country that is looking to move up. And so for, like, maybe a young guy, like, say a guy like Dennis Gates, who would probably love to come to Marquette, but maybe has eyes on winning a national championship at North Carolina or Duke or Indiana or somewhere like that down the road, right? He would look at it as to say, well, this is a stepping stone job. He would look at it and say, if I can win there, I can get just about any job I want after that, and I can be famous. And so I think the opportunity at Marquette, yeah, like, would we love to have a guy who's going to stay for 30 years and take us to Final Fours all the time? Sure. But I don't think that's the reality of the situation. I think most schools nationwide are probably changing head coaches every 5 to 8 years. And you just got to know that's part of the business. Like, the guys who stay at one place for 15, 20 years, those are the Hall of Famers, and they're at the top jobs in the country. Like,
right.
Guys who stay at one place that long are just so rare. So, yeah, I think to answer your question, I don't think the fact that Wojo was fired is going to turn off many, or if any, candidates who are ambitious and looking to advance their careers, because Marquette is a great opportunity to do that, because it gives you a competitive conference, but not a gauntlet of a conference, but a great platform to win, and plenty of resources, all the resources you would realistically need to win at a decent level. Like, are you going to win a national championship at Marquette? You know, that's the dream, but I don't think that's ever going to be the expectation, at least in the current environment. So you can win and raise your profile and get famous and be a national name if you come to Marquette. So I think a lot of rising names in the coaching industry are going to throw their name in the hat.
Right. Yep. I think it'll be a desired job, and we'll see. So Marquette's got to interview some folks and make the right choice. It'll be an interesting, you know, couple of weeks here. It's, you know, let's be honest. It's what we wanted. Now we got what we wanted. So we got to
buckle
up.
Careful what you wish for, but right. Hopefully it goes well from here. But
yes.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll, I guess the next time we'll be pod will be after Marquette makes that hire. Maybe that's later this week, or I guess next week. So either later next week, or I think at the latest 2 weeks from now, right? Like,
right.
There's no way this drags into April.
No, they cannot.
It's going to be within the next 10 days, I bet, they will have a coach. So that's when we'll check in with you again. Again, we appreciate all your feedback, both online, on Twitter, and on Apple reviews and all that. So hit us up. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is M-triple-O-F-23. At Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. Once again, shout out to Paint Touches and Anonymous Eagle, by the way, for all the work they did on the MUBB pack article. That was great. That was kind of a crazy 24 hours. Also, go to cracksidewalks.com. We post the podcast on there. Leave us your comments there, your thoughts. And we have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. And please rate, review, and subscribe. Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Anything else, Phil? You ready to get back to watching some March Madness?
Yeah, let's see who gets upset and what coaches become available. We have some opportunities here.
Enjoy the rumor mill. Please be responsible when sharing things on social media. We don't need done deal two.
Done deal two. Let's more done, more deal.
More deal. Just check for, look for that blue check, or at least make sure you're trusting the source when you retweet things. It would be greatly appreciated. Share responsibly. Go Marquette. Until next time, everybody, seashells and balloons.